AEP has a team of employees who play a major part in our storm response, even though you don't see them out working on the power lines.
If you have crews ready and staged in place ahead of a big storm event and they're ready to start restoring power to customers as soon as it goes out, that saves customers headaches.
On this episode of Connected, the AEP Employee Podcast, taking the weather to a whole other level.
Sleet bounces off power lines. Freezing rain obviously sticks to power lines and adds a lot of ice loading. And the difference between sleet and freezing rain is a degree or two about a mile up in the atmosphere.
We're talking with the head of AEP's meteorology team about why the company doesn't worry about all types of storms and what we're expecting during this hurricane season. Thank you for joining us. I'm Bailey Coltice. What's the weather going to be like today? For most of us, it's a simple question that's part of everyday life. At AEP, what's the weather going to be like today carries a lot more weight. Every day, the company incorporates forecasts on temperatures, storms, and weather patterns into major business decisions. A lot rides on having clear and accurate information, which is why AEP has an in-house meteorology team. Joining me today is Megan Klee. She's the manager of the meteorology team at AEP. She's going to help us understand how the weather is woven into our efforts to keep the lights on. Megan, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
And people must be really excited to talk to you. I feel like every time we're talking about the meteorology team, you know, at least on my team, everyone gets really into it. They get really excited about the weather. On the same note, I feel like a lot of people don't necessarily understand what you all do. So can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Sure. One of the easiest ways that I explain to others who might not know or understand why a utility company might need a meteorology team is to talk about energy demand. So when it's really hot or really cold out, you tend to use your AC or heat more. So we do hourly temperature forecasts and the day ahead market to make sure that we can forecast a energy consumption or energy demand as best as possible for tomorrow and to make sure that we can meet those demands. The other part of our job is obviously forecasting big storms that bring down trees and power lines. So we work with the operating company as storm coordinators and the mutual assistance team. We try to prepare the company as best as we can ahead of big storm events.
Why can't a company like AEP or a company who, you know, weather affects their business, why can't they rely on a normal weather outlet like the news or an app?
A lot of people are used to using their phone app. They open up their phone app and it gives them all the weather information that they'd want. But one thing that a lot of people don't know is that the weather app is automated and there's not really any human interaction with it. So it's taking pure model output, making it look pretty, and putting it on your phone. And while that might be good for, you know, planning a barbecue or so on and so forth, utilities and really anyone, any company that has weather that impacts their operation should have either an in-house team or hire from the outside, because broad brush weather forecasts usually aren't going to give them the level of detail that they need to make decisions. So I think that's where we bring a lot of value, is knowing the different thresholds within all of the states that we operate in. The same weather that goes through West Texas is going to not create as much damage as weather that may go through, say, West Virginia or Southwest Virginia in our very sensitive APCO territory. So knowing the different thresholds for each utility and being able to highlight threats when we see them brings a lot of value. When you get broad brush weather forecasts that include all severe weather, you might be looking at a highlighted threat area that has a chance for severe storms, but mainly is only a hail risk. And hail isn't a big deal to our utility, where a line of severe thunderstorms would be very impactful. And sometimes just a few severe thunderstorms isn't going to be enough to cause significant utility issues, especially in the lower population areas of West Texas and Indiana.
What are some of the most vulnerable areas of our system?
Well, certainly the highly forested terrain areas of Southeast Ohio, Kentucky Power, and APCO are our most sensitive parts of our territory, also Southwest Virginia. Because of all the trees and the terrain, it doesn't take much weather to cause significant utility issues for those areas. Sometimes it's just scattered strong storms that can cause significant utility issues. But also the east utilities get more winter weather events than the west. So ice storms, wet snow events, those can be very impactful. Just last February, we had back-to-back-to-back ice storms in APCO and Kentucky Power in Southeast Ohio, and that was quite an event. So when you get two back-to-back ice storms in the same area, the ice accumulated on top of the other event because the temperature never got above freezing. So you had an ice storm, and then you had another ice storm a couple days later. And what happens, you end up with an inch or an inch and a half of ice on top of those wires and trees. And it was just devastating to those areas. And it took many weeks to restore power in those areas.
What about the West? What are some of the big issues and trouble spots out there?
Well, the West, you know, obviously is exposed to the Gulf of Mexico. And as we're moving into hurricane season, one of the biggest things that we ramp up for is forecasting tropical storms and hurricanes. So their biggest risk is hurricanes. Hurricanes can cause extensive damage to the system. In fact, 2020 was a record-breaking hurricane year, and we were busy. Just a few storms that come to mind that were highly impactful to the West was Hurricane Hanna in AP Texas and Hurricane Laura in SWEPCO. Those are really big events for the company last year. So hurricanes, definitely some of the bigger threats to the West. Tornado outbreaks can be too, especially in the SWEPCO area and the PSO area. If you get a tornado outbreak in a populous area, that can cause significant issues as well.
What is the outlook like for this hurricane season?
Unfortunately, it looks like it could be another active season. Ways that we can predict that is looking at the sea surface temperature anomalies. And it is above average already, the tropical Atlantic, as well as the Gulf of Mexico and the Caribbean. Also, ENSO, which is the El Nino and La Nina. So this year, we're either going to stay in a weak La Nina like we are right now, or it's going to trend towards a neutral ENSO, which means no La Nina, no El Nino. It's just neutral. And La Nina actually weakens wind shear in the Caribbean and the tropical Atlantic. And that means that tropical storms and hurricanes can easily develop without wind shear. Wind shear acts as a weakening parameter to tropical cyclone development. If we do have La Nina going into the summer and fall, or even just a neutral ENSO, that actually, it doesn't hinder development. So for a less active hurricane season, typically an El Nino year would help with that. But since we're not looking at an El Nino, really right now I'm not seeing anything stopping us from having another active year. The question is, if a hurricane develops, does it land in the United States? Where does it land? And does it impact AP? It only takes one storm for it to be a bad year.
How exactly do you build a forecast?
Yeah, so when people come and shadow us for an hour or for the day, some of the questions that we get are, where do you get your weather forecasts? And that makes me chuckle sometimes because we create our forecasts. You go to school to learn how to craft your own forecast. So you're given all this weather data, and some of it is free and some of it you have to pay for. The first thing that you have to do to create a forecast is look at reality now. Look at what's happening at the surface. What's the radar look like? What's the satellite look like? And then you start to get an idea of what the weather models are doing. And you can compare weather models to each other and get a sense of what the weather pattern is going to be for the next several days. You can compare the American model to the European model, and those are operational models. But each model has its own set of runs. So the American model has an ensemble that's made up of about 30 separate runs of that model, and the European model has about 50 runs. And what I mean by runs is each run has its own unique set of initialization parameters. So it'll take information from airport surface observations, radar and satellite, and it will take those observations and put it into weather equations and essentially create a model. And what you can do is try and find your model of choice for the day. And that might just mean that maybe the American model is picking up on the pattern better today than the European is. And maybe that means that it's going to be better 5 days from now. It's really an art and a science, in a sense that it's taking all of your knowledge and your experience and your pattern recognition and comparing the data that you have in front of you to reality and seeing how does it evolve and does it make sense evolving that way. We typically call that statistical data package guidance. And guidance is a great word for that because it's not going to be the answer and it's going to be wrong. All weather models are wrong. So what the job of the forecaster is to improve upon that data and that guidance and create the best forecast you can. And that's one thing that's bad with your weather app is it's just model output. So it's usually wrong. So especially when you have rapidly changing weather conditions.
When you're building a forecast, what are some of the main atmospheric conditions that you look for that show maybe danger or point that it's going to be a concern for you?
So, I mean, I'll start with ice storms. Ice storms are very impactful to both the distribution and transmission portions of the company. With ice storms, a classic weather pattern for ice storms is having an Arctic air mass coming down from Canada and with moisture overrunning that, typically with a low pressure system that slides to the south. That is classic weather pattern setup for an ice event. Really, you need an extended period of freezing rain for an ice storm too. So when you start to get mixing in with snow or sleet at times, typically when you get a lot of mixed precipitation in the wintertime, you're not going to have a significant utility issue. So you're really looking for that narrow band of just freezing rain in a certain area to cause an ice storm and significant utility issues. Also, another risky weather pattern for AEP is what we call the Ring of Fire. That's a thunderstorm pattern. It sounds a little bit like a Johnny Cash song, but it is a real thing. What happens is you have a heat dome over part of the country, and you get disturbances that roll up and over that heat dome. And this sets up a lot in the spring and summertime. And it can happen in the west utilities, and it can happen in the east utilities. Sometimes those disturbances that roll up and over the heat dome can become severe. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes they can become a line of severe thunderstorms, and sometimes they can become derecho. So when we see that weather pattern set up somewhere across the country, we know that we're going to be busy over the next several days.
What's the most challenging part of your job?
This one's easy for me to answer. With being a utility meteorologist, sometimes it's not just getting the weather forecast right, but also getting the utility response right. And a good example of that is with winter weather forecasting. So let's say, for instance, a snow event's coming to Ohio. So you know it's going to snow. And say it's going to snow 6 to 9 inches. You get that part of the forecast right. So yay, pat on the back. But what you need to figure out as a utility meteorologist is it going to be a wet snow? Is it going to be an average snow? Or is it going to be a drier snow? The difference between wet snow, average snow, and dry snow is what's happening in the atmosphere from the surface to about a mile up. A difference in a degree or two within that mile in the atmosphere is a big difference between rain, sleet, freezing rain, snow, average snow, wet snow, dry snow. It can be challenging in a sense that you may think that you're going to get 6 to 9 inches of wet snow in a certain area, and wet snow weighs down trees and power lines. It's that real heavy cement-like snow, and that can cause utility outages. But if it's an average or dry snow, say 10 to 1 snow to water ratios or greater, then that dry powdery snow that blows around and it's easy to shovel off your sidewalk, that does not cause utility issues. And you can get 2 feet of dry, powdery snow, and you're not going to see much of a utility response. The same could be said with the difference between sleet and freezing rain. Sleet bounces off power lines. Freezing rain obviously sticks to power lines and adds a lot of ice loading. And the difference between sleet and freezing rain, like I said, is a degree or two about a mile up in the atmosphere. So it can be very challenging in the winter time.
What's the best part about your job?
The best part of my job is always knowing that you're making an impact to the bottom line. It's really nailing a forecast when it matters. If it's really hot or really cold out and you're creating hourly temperature forecasts that get directly inputted into the load forecast model, and you're saving customers money by doing that because the market is expensive, the more accurate your forecast is, the better the load forecast model is going to be, and the more prepared we're going to be for that energy demand. Also, making sure the company is as prepared as it can be ahead of big storm events. That has impacts to the bottom line for the company and for our customers as well. And also just getting their power up and running as quickly as possible. If you have crews ready and staged in place ahead of a big storm event and they're ready to start restoring power to customers as soon as it goes out, that saves customers headaches. And no one likes to be without power nowadays, especially with all of our technology, our iPads, our smartphones, our computers, our Netflix, so on and so forth. No one likes to be without power. So knowing that we make a difference in that restoration time at the end is also really rewarding.
That's a great note to end on. Megan, thank you for speaking with me.
Thank you. It's been great. Thank you for having me.
Is there a part of the company you'd like to know more about? Send us an email at podcast@aep.com. Thank you for listening and stay safe.